The discourse of Jesus in today's gospel comes from his last discourse at the Last Supper, just before his so-called high priestly prayer. And he is speaking to his disciples as his inner circle, those that he has loved more than others. And he desires that the work he has begun in them will be brought to fulfillment. And so he encourages them to ask directly to the Father for whatever they need. And he does this so that they will be brought to completion in his work and that their joy may be complete. Then he says this, he says, I have told you this in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures, but will tell you clearly about the Father. Now this is at the end of his public ministry, of course, at the Last Supper. So his teaching mission is pretty much complete. There are a few other things that he will tell the apostles after his resurrection, between the resurrection and the ascension. But for the most part, his teaching ministry is finished. So in what sense does he say, I have told you this in figures of speech, but the hour is coming when I no longer will speak to you in figures, but I will tell you clearly about the Father? Well, he's speaking about the Paschal mystery and about what he is going to reveal to them through his suffering, death, and resurrection. And when he talks about the figures of speech, he's talking about, of course, his public discourses and his teaching, what the apostles and their followers will later come to call the sayings of Jesus, which become recorded in the gospel. But the figures of speech, some translations say proverbs, some say allegories, but of course our Lord does speak in figures. I am the light of the world, I am the way, truth, and the life. St. John calls them the Lamb of God. He refers to himself as the sheep's gate, the good shepherd. Many are the figures of speech, and we know that he tells the apostles when they are aside with him at another time, and he explains the parables to them, that he only speaks in parables to the people, but to them he reveals the mysteries. And this is because ultimately they wanted to know. They wanted to know what the parables meant, and their hearts were open to be enlightened by the Lord. And so there is a kind of order to the way in which our Lord reveals himself to us and reveals the Father to us through the scriptures, through the teaching of the church, and through our humble and pious assent to what God has revealed. For those who won't make that ascent, for those who won't humble themselves before Jesus and desire to penetrate the mysteries he's revealed to us in figures, they will remain dark. Scriptures will remain dark. Scriptures will remain a riddle and a mystery, and to many, an absurdity. But to those who have humbled themselves, there is a pathway to a deeper understanding and to a greater holiness. The Gnostics would use this passage of our Lord where he talks about two sort of levels, the level of the figures of speech and the level of speaking clearly as a kind of another revelation apart from the gospel, reserved to only a few. But of course that's a heresy and not what our Lord is talking about. He's talking about the door that's open to us when we assent to faith, and when we join ourselves to Christ in the mystery of his suffering, death, and resurrection. And this was the great challenge for the apostles. They accepted him as teacher. They accepted him as the master who revealed the mysteries of the kingdom. But they had a difficult time accepting him as the good shepherd, and we can recall this this fact from the episode at Caesarea Philippi, when in one instant Peter is given the keys to the kingdom of heaven because he understands who Christ is as Lord, Master, and Teacher, and even his divinity. But when our Lord talks about his suffering and death on the cross, that's another story. That was hard for Peter to accept. The humble acceptance of the mystery of our Lord's passion and our own incorporation into that mystery by carrying our cross and being open to divine providence, even if it leads us places we don't want to go, that's where the rubber hits the road, so to speak, and where the door is either opened or closed to us. So there is humble assent, pious assent to what God has revealed, and then there's our own effort to study the scriptures and come to an understanding of them in our own, according to our own capacity, because our Lord didn't call just a certain class of people, like the Gnostics thought. He called us all, and he revealed himself most of all to humble men, not to intellectuals. The apostles were not intellectuals. St. Gregory the Great, who commented on the conversion of the Angles, the English people, through the preaching and ministry of Augustine of Canterbury, whose memorial we celebrate today, commented on how the gospel was spread not through highly cultured men, but through uneducated men, because precisely they had drawn close to Christ and had used the gifts that God gave them to understand the mysteries and then to communicate them to others. St. Gregory also says in a letter to St. Augustine of Canterbury, that we must proceed, if we wish to reach the heights, proceed by steps and not by leaps, which is not to say that we don't proceed by way of great zeal, courage, and effort, but that there is an order to our ascent. And that means, first of all, that we humble ourselves and try to understand the scriptures according to the mind of Christ, which means according to the mind of the church. And then if we are able to do that, we can enter more deeply into the mysteries and grow in holiness, and then be prepared, according to our own capacity, to be witnesses to Christ in the world. Our Lord invites us to this communion with him and his Father. We are our Lord's beloved disciples, and we have been invited into the inner circle around the altar of our Lord's sacrifice, where we see realized sacramentally and liturgically everything that our Lord has done for us and everything that he wishes to give to us. Praise be Jesus and Mary.